Year 1 of the Terran Empire. Chapter 1. Aurora, Minnesota, United States. The wet, soft sound of an ending world burned in Lewis Freymark's ears as he crouched to drop more wood into the fire. Spits of sleet hissed as they filtered into the flames, and the tarp he'd rigged to break the worst of the wind flapped in the drenched, blowing darkness. It was almost enough, almost, to drown out the sound of his daughter's cough. He hunched his shoulders, bending over, using the end of a limb to rearrange the burning branches. They didn't really need it, but it gave him a few more minutes before he had to look up, face Janice and the kids again, and he couldn't do that. Not yet. His heart cried out to take them all in his arms, shelter them against the cold, promise them that he was there, and that somehow they'd get through this, as they'd gotten through everything else. But he couldn't do that either. He couldn't, because this time he couldn't be their strength. Because this time his own despair would only have broken whatever scraps of hope might still sustain them. There'd been no weather reports in months, not since the Shangeri had brought nightmare and destruction to Earth, but there was snow somewhere beyond the sleet. Freymark could smell it. He could feel it in the icy little teeth biting into the back of his neck as he crouched, using his body to give Janice and Stevie and Francesca and Jackie, oh, especially Jackie, any extra fragment of windbreak he could. And in his heart, he knew it didn't matter. He'd grown up in Duluth, 50-odd miles from this unquiet, hopeless refugee camp. He knew northern winters. He knew how cruel they could be, even without murderous aliens from beyond the stars. And because he did, he knew exactly what would happen. For a while, he'd thought they'd make it. The farmhouse outside the town of Babbitt had belonged to his cousin. But Jake and Suzanne had been in St. Paul when the initial Shangeri kinetic strike turned the entire Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area into fire, ash, smoke, and death. Freymark and Janice were supposed to have joined them for the river cruise, until Francesca's impacted wisdom teeth required immediate surgery instead. They'd just gotten home from the oral surgeons when the initial strikes went in. Minneapolis-St. Paul hadn't died alone. Washington, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver, Spokane, London, Paris, Berlin, Moscow, Ottawa. The dirge of murdered cities had rolled like the fanfare of apocalypse, and the unending list had only grown and grown in the months since. There'd been fresh reports almost daily, at least until the internet, the communications satellites, even the emergency band radios, had gone down. Duluth had been destroyed 2 months after Minneapolis and Paul, in one of the Shangeri's reprisal strikes. Freymark didn't have a clue what the reprisal had been for, but it didn't matter. Not really. Not beside the death toll which had swept across his country and his world, like some black, bottomless tide. Yet he and Janice and the kids had been safe. They'd loaded up the SUV, headed north for sleepy little Babbitt, where there was nothing for the invaders to waste their kinetic bombardments upon. Where they'd known Jake and Suzanne's farmhouse would stand empty. Indeed, his greatest fear had been that they'd find someone else already squatting on the family farm. But civilization hadn't gone into the crapper that quickly. Not then. Jacqueline coughed wetly behind him again, and he clenched his jaw tighter, feeling the cold closing in, staring into the flames as they crackled against the hateful dark. Jake and Suzanne's family garden had helped a lot over the summer, and he and Janice had preserved what they could. Neither of them had known a thing about canning, but they'd dragged out Suzanne's canning supplies, chased down instructions on the internet, and printed them out while they still had electricity. And before the puppies took out the net. And they'd managed to put up a lot of food. Or it had seemed like.